Well, we tend to think of Abraham Lincoln as the ultimate statesman and the ultimate orator, but he was something else too. He was a top-drawer politician who knew how to connect with the Americans he sought to govern. One tool that Lincoln used was photography, and that helped voters who knew little about the one-term congressman in 1860 to better connect a name to a face. That helped Lincoln win a tough election in 1860. With us now to talk about Abraham Lincoln's use of photography is David Ward. He's a senior historian with the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. And David, welcome back to Up to Date. So nice to have you here.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Well, we don't think of President Lincoln as more political than he really was that often, do we?
No, I mean, I think a photograph contributes to that. We tend to think of Lincoln, first of all, happy President's Day, everybody.
Well, that's right.
It used to be Lincoln's birthday and then Washington's. Because of the mythologizing of Abraham Lincoln, he has such an outside position in our history, in our society, in our memory.
Right.
We tend to disassociate him from the grubby details of politics, the greasy pole of politics that Benjamin Disraeli called it. And he was a genius at a lot of things. And one of the things that he was a genius of at the First Order was his mastery of political rules, regulations, methods, and certainly campaigning. And photography was something that he adopted very early on.
Was he one of the first politicians that you're aware of, David, who grabbed that?
Yeah, I mean, this is where Lincoln is interesting as a modern man, that he's a precursor of modernity, that he was, first of all, very interested always in invention and new technology. He's the only president, by the way, to hold a patent. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the new technology fascinated him. It was a way, as he identifies himself, both to the American people, both first in Illinois and then nationally, it was a way to put, as you put it, a face to a name. And it was also a way that he could make himself present, make himself known as time went on, particularly during the Civil War. I view Lincoln, I have to confess, since it is President's Day, I'm in the tank for Abraham Lincoln in terms of that. I don't think we'll ever be able to fully understand his depths. He's mysterious, but he hides in plain sight behind these photographs that are getting taken in the 1840s and then as his career ramps up in the late 1850s.
So this was all sort of instinctual on his part. He sort of just recognized that, hey, this was a path forward for me politically.
Yeah, I think, and the things that you don't know as an historian are always very frustrating. You want that one memo where he says, look into photography today, and that's dated 1857, and we don't have that.
Yeah,
he had a very good group of advisors. He'd mastered the political arts. He had David Davis and Joshua Speed and the kind of cabal, the Springfield, Illinois mafia that is sort of launching his early career. And they the Springfield boys fund a very early, quite romantic, picturesque portrait of Abraham Lincoln by Alexander Hessler, which is worth your time if you Google it, where they recognize that things were changing, that prints and drawings and lithographs were old news and photography, and Lincoln was the coming man. He was the future. Photography was the future too.
There's so many photographs of him, but one I wanted to ask you about in particular, David, and I don't think it's the one you just mentioned. This is the photograph that you believe helped him win the White House, a portrait taken by Matthew Brady. February 27th, 1860, and it came the same day that Lincoln delivered his famous Cooper Union Address, which laid out his stance on slavery and helped sort of catapult him onto the national stage. Even though we're on radio, many of our listeners will recognize it. Tell us how that photograph came to be and what it looked like and how important it was to him.
Well, that's the photograph that Lincoln said, this is the photograph that Mr. Brady took that made me president. And there's a coming out party for Abraham Lincoln. He's the one-term congressman from Illinois. He's making a name for himself within the emerging Republican Party, the breakup of the Whig Party, and he's invited to come east to the good and the great of the East Coast establishment want to see this mysterious man, and they move the lecture from from Henry Ward Beecher's church to the Cooper Union, which is still down in Lower Manhattan. A giant crowd assembles. Lincoln shows up. He arrives in New York. He buys a suit at Brooks Brothers and has his photograph taken by Matthew Brady. And it shows him standing, in his suit, well-groomed, well-dressed.
Pre-beard.
Pre-beard. That's mm-hmm. another key we can get to in a minute. He hasn't grown the beard yet. And he's looking sober, responsible, respectable,
yes.
Exactly the image that you want. Image is everything, as the advertisement says. And then he goes to the Cooper Union and delivers this really tour de force legal argument against secession. And this convinces Horace Greeley and the other New Yorkers in the Republican Party that this man has the stature to do it. The interesting thing about the Brady photograph is it's called a carte de visite, French for visiting card. And it's the transitional moment where, and calling it a visiting card because, again, it still is the size. Look in your pocket and you'll look at your business card. It's the verbal turning into the visual, that Lincoln's calling card is not just his resume, it's his image.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican Party did something really interesting, which was they had hundreds, if not thousands, of these printed, and then cut out Lincoln's head in a little oval and put it inside a little gold wooden frame.
That's interesting.
And we have one in the National Portrait Gallery. I invite you to come to Washington to see it. And it was the first real photographic political pin for the 1860-61 campaign, where the wideawakes and the Republican activists, the guys who are getting out the vote, whipping up the local community, you could wear Lincoln on your heart or on your sleeve. And that was his calling card. And that was his use of photography. It's the beginning, really, of God help us with the kind of mass media campaign was Abraham Lincoln using photography then.
David Ward's my guest. He's a senior historian with the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. And I should point out that he'll be at the University of St. Mary this evening presenting the 18th annual Lincoln event, The First Visual Presidency, How Abraham Lincoln Used Photography for Politics. Again, 7 o'clock tonight at the University of St. Mary up in Leavenworth. David Ward will be giving that talk. You know, what's amazing to me, David, about that photograph that we're talking about here is just how young Lincoln looks at that time, especially compared to how he would come to look just 4 years down the road through the Civil War, shortly before he's assassinated. It's breathtaking to look at the distinctions there.
Yeah, this is the thing that becomes uncanny with Lincoln, again, because we look back through the lens of the assassination. And this is one of the other things. Once Lincoln gets elected, first of all, you've mentioned it, and I'll bring it up again. He does grow the beard. It's the single greatest alteration in physiognomy. I mean, imagine today if a presidential candidate was elected, and then between the election, it would be on the talk shows 24/7. Lincoln grows the beard, and I think he's doing it because he's cutting off the peacetime from wartime. He knows that secession is happening. And Lincoln, when he's in office, is always having his photograph taken. Mm-hmm. Alexander Gardner, and I have an exhibition up on Gardner now at the Portrait Gallery, was Lincoln's favorite photographer in Washington. Lincoln was always going down to Gardner's studio and having his photograph taken. And it was a way for him to show the public that he was on duty.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing it just for vanity or because he liked the way he looked. I mean, he always made jokes about how homely he was for political effect. But he would have images taken of himself. They would be widely disseminated. They'd be sold. They'd be bought up by the party, the party partisans. And you can track the toll of the war on him, that he starts off as a fresh-faced country boy from Illinois. And by the time, of course, of his death, the last big photograph of him is taken in February 1865, the famous portrait. He's haggard. His hair is receding. His eyes are the skin is crepey, and it almost looks like somebody has taken a razor blade and carved away at the lines of his face. He's lost a tremendous amount of weight.
Yeah.
And he's just haggard. He's dealing with everything from the death of his son to the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans, and it all is impressed on his face, and photography reveals that to us.
We'll have a slideshow of Lincoln photos on our website at kcur.org/up-to-date after the show today. How were photographs made back then, David? How did this happen?
Well, here's the thing that's interesting is that, of course, it's photography starts in the 1830s. It becomes popular, and the technology is not really keeping up with what they wanted to do with it. By the time of the late 1850s, it's a glass plate process. There's no film. It's very complicated in terms of the exposure times. They're not as bad as people sometimes cliche them, that it's not like a minute where you have to wait for the camera to take the photo. But the cameraman, the camera operator, Alexander Gardner, Matthew Brady, would have to prepare the glass plate with a solution to take the image when you click the shutter. And then you would have to prepare it again when you pull the image. There's this very highly toxic chemical procedure before you put the plate on. It's very cumbersome. If you wanted a little picture, you had a little camera and a little glass plate. If you wanted a big picture, the so-called imperials, you had a big camera and a big plate. Alexander Gardner, who I admire greatly, was a master at the kind of juggling act of being a cameraman.
Yeah, that's just interesting. There is that. You've mentioned the famous cracked plate portrait of Lincoln taken shortly before he died. What happened there, and why was the plate cracked, David?
That's, again, it gets to the technology, and then it gets to the way that the technology leads to our view of Lincoln. Is that Gardner, it's the famous last sitting with Gardner. It's February 5th, 1865. It's the end of the war. Lincoln's looking forward to his second inaugural.
He's 2.5 months from his death.
Yeah, and that's the way that we read this picture. He's thinking about the future. He's thinking about the inauguration, winning the war in April, and we know he's going to die. So what happened was, and when Lincoln sat for Gardner, he would have more than one image. You would go in and you would have a little carte de visite, and there's a famous image that I'll be showing tonight, actually, of Lincoln and his son Tad that was taken February 5th. Tad came along to the sitting. But what happened with the cracked plate, which is an imperial, the large size of photograph, is that at some point during the development process, probably when Gardner heated the plate to take the collodion mixture to pull the print, the glass cracked. It's under pressure. The myth was always that Gardner dropped it, which the plates are so fragile it would have shattered. So Gardner pulled one image, said that's not any good, and threw the glass plate away. Huh. And there's one cracked plate Lincoln. The National Portrait Gallery is pleased to own it. We don't show it very often because it's in very bad shape. Mm. But what you do is you look at the portrait, and it's the collision between Lincoln the human actor in 1865 and the mythological Lincoln. Because what you do, as you've suggested, is you read back the assassination to February.
Yeah.
And the portrait is uncanny, in my view of it is, if you see it on the website, is it's a little out of focus. One of the eyes is slightly disappearing. Lincoln is present to us, but it's almost a presentiment that he's disappearing.
Wow.
It's this ghostly image between fact and fiction.
Yes, and it's a haunting image. Yeah,
yeah, and it's really the beginning of the mythologizing of Lincoln. When Lincoln dies, Stanton, his Secretary of War, famously says, "Now he belongs to the ages."
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, "Now he belongs to the angels." And there's this sense of apotheosis of Lincoln rising to heaven to be greeted by Washington, and this martyrdom, which colors our view of Lincoln in the latter part of his term.
How many portraits do we have of Abraham Lincoln? I mean, how many
Actually, I can't tell you. I can't give you an absolute number. There's a big compendium of Lincoln portraits, including Lincoln fakes. There's a market in the late 19th century for Lincoln fakes. In terms of the original snapshots, there have to be 750 to 1,000.
Wow.
This is a bit of a guess. And then, of course, the point with photography is it's reproducible. Once you have a plate, you can.
Right.
If you see, in fact, we have at the Portrait Gallery an 1863 Lincoln negative, one of the two surviving big imperials, and we have a modern print that we took from it. We used modern methods to pull a print from an 1863 image. It's reproducible, and that was what Lincoln recognized. It was mobile. You could flood the country with your picture, and this was a revolution.
We have portraits, but we don't have many of him in action with quotes around the words. Yeah.
No. Well, that's again something that's interesting about Lincoln and his relationship with Gardner is that Gardner goes out to the battlefield and takes pictures of Lincoln at Antietam, firing. Mm-hmm. It's George McClellan.
Yeah.
It's beginning of photojournalism, and Lincoln is there.
Well, David Ward has been my guest, senior historian with the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. He speaks this evening at 7 at the University of St. Mary, speaking about the 18th annual Lincoln event. David, what a pleasure to have you here,
thanks
as always.
Lot.
Thanks so
really
much for coming in.
It.
You bet. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Follow me at Steve Kraske. Tomorrow's program looks at common and preventable injuries happening to our kids. Our program is produced by Danny Alexander, Lisa Rodriguez, Beth Lipoff, and Caperton Morton. Our senior producer is Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.